Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 167 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with David Mangine. David lives near Rotterdam in the Netherlands. You are my first guest from the Netherlands, David.
What an honor.
It's awesome. And he is an artist and a teacher. He works as a stand-up comedian, and he's also a musician. So welcome, David.
Thank you, Jen. Lovely to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. And I want to point out to our audience that you are actually an expat from America. Tell us how you ended up in the Netherlands.
It was a happy accident. I mean, it's not like I made a conscious decision. But when I was a sophomore, I went to college out in Colorado. And when I was a sophomore in college, I got a call from my parents. And they're like, we're moving to Holland. I'm like, Holland, Michigan? What? He's like, no, Amsterdam. I was like, which at that time, if you're 20 years old and American, you're like, we're moving to where?
Yeah, that sounds like fun, right?
Yes, it was an attractive option. So I went back and forth during college, and then after college graduated and thought, man, I think I can teach English over there because I had studied to do that in the US, and I came over and got a job and just stayed. And I fell in love with the place. It's a wonderful country, and I'm still here.
Well, that's awesome. So, you know, I like to start by asking what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
It was my girlfriend. She got into it. She read the book because of she was having issues with menopause. That was her way in. And so she started, we take these long walks in the morning and she was reading and she thought she had heard at some point somebody mentioned mental health. So that was my way in was my own mental health. And I will truly try anything. If people are saying this helps, I'll try it. So I did it. And she was already gung ho, and probably about a month and a half into it. And she immediately went, like, she started 16.8 and then it was 18.6 and then it was alternative day and then it was long water fat, like the whole deal. And it didn't take me long to get totally into it too. So she, God bless her, she was the way in. And I really,
and when
really,
was that? When did she?
She, I think the end of last summer. So that's
okay.
Like,
so 2020, summer of 2020.
Yeah, right in the middle of the pandemic. And
oh, yeah.
Actually, a good time to do it, to be honest. And then because I totally trust her word on that, I did it and then got into it very fast. So it's been almost a year now. Yeah.
Time is just flying, isn't it? I can't believe we're recording this in early July of 2021. And I can't believe the year is halfway over already. It feels like we just started 2021.
I mean, this year more than any year, I would say.
It's true. So she was going through menopause. Did she also need to lose some weight, or was she working on like hormonal?
Fair question. It was not weight loss at first. It was just, what can I do? Because I'm getting these hot flashes. And, you know, you just hear things. And she heard about your book, and then came to the book. And then from there, it immediately started to help. And then, indeed, weight loss happens. I'm not going to lie to you. As soon as that starts happening, you're like, well, hey, bonus. So that started happening. And we just rolled with it.
I love hearing people who come to it for health reasons, though, rather than like coming to it for weight loss. So you started with the book Fast, Feast, Repeat. That's the one y'all read. I love hearing that too, because, you know, so many of the listeners started with Delayed on Deny. That was all that was around, you know, at first until 2020. But starting for the health benefits is really exciting.
And specifically for me, mental health. And there's research out there now to back it up that it really does help with depression. That was my thing. I was actually diagnosed bipolar in 2018. So my health, mental health in particular, is a full-time job. And now I'm a huge believer in nutrition and diet, as far as choices for mental health. And I definitely figured out once I got into the program, okay, my relationship to sugar is questionable at best. You know what I mean? I did and I know you do, I did the sugar salt. Like, it's a drug, man.
And some brains really respond to it in a different way than other brains. Just like, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, with sugar. You know, just like we know with things like heroin, right? I'm not saying sugar is heroin. I'm not. That's extreme. But our brains respond to different chemicals in different ways. Like someone, for example, may take narcotics and be fine. Another person takes them and is immediately an addict. You know, it's just, you know, your brain lights up in a different way, perhaps, to the sugar.
It certainly lights up in a different way to the narcotics. Here we are back to Amsterdam. It's full circle. Look what happens. See how that
right,
works?
Right. Yeah.
So, interesting point. Well, I would say, and I have discovered this gentleman's work as a direct result of your work, but are you familiar with Dr. Alan Goldhammer?
I have heard of him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. True North, definitely. I was like, where is he from? Yes, True North, I have. So he's in California.
Correct. That's correct. And he would say definitely. And I know, I mean, I don't frame his work as extreme because I'm really open to it. But he would say that sugar is he calls it a drug food, and fats and anything that's really working straight on our dopamine centers. So, you know, it doesn't keep me from eating it. But I certainly discovered once I started your program, I was like, okay, hello. This is obvious that the behavior is there.
You're right. And for me, like, I was just at the beach for a couple of weeks, and there's a place that has amazing cupcakes, and I love them. They're delicious. And I drove past that cupcake place several times, and I had people coming, and I'm like, I could get them. I'm like, no, cupcakes really make my brain feel bad. That sounds weird, but I don't do well with cupcakes. They go straight in. I can do ice cream. A little bit of ice cream, I'm fine. But cake, cupcakes, things like that.
So there's your drug food. That's interesting.
Well, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Like total abstinence, I'm not there yet. Maybe at some point, like the True North people really, if you follow Goldhammer's work, he's also no sugar, no salt, no oil, and full on plant-based. Is the Olympics. I'm not there yet, but who knows?
That really is. It really, really is. And after doing the Zoe program and figuring out my body clears fat slowly, you know, less fat is really better for me. And I get it. It's not easy though, because it just adds so much flavor.
It does indeed. You can't argue that. And I mean, you've got your honesty pants, right? That's your measure. If you hit the cupcakes too hard, you're feeling that fast, aren't you?
It's true. Yeah. If my window creep, you know, start opening a little earlier, staying a little later.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So I will say that's actually a fun thing to kind of ask you, is that I was super, super almost religious about those times, about the windows. And I noticed in the last probably 4 weeks, a little bit stressful here with opening up after the pandemic, that I get a little bit gray area on the window times. What would you say to me to help me?
Well, okay, so what window had you settled into as one that felt good prior to this?
18.6.
So you were doing like an 18.6 and feeling good in the 18.6 and having weight maintenance. That's what you were at that point, or still want to lose a little bit more weight, or?
It's still not about weight, but as far as the numbers are for me, I lost. When I started, I was 99 kilos on metric system alert. And now I'm down to 85. So that's 14 kilos. So that's okay. A lot, you know, it's like 30 pounds.
It is. Funny side note there, you grew up in America, and so you're probably around my age if you had a girlfriend going through menopause. Do you remember when they told us back in the 70s and the 80s that the whole world was going to be metric system, including us, and that we just never still have done that? But do you remember they told us that in school?
To think in tens, Jen. It's too hard. Yeah, I can't think in tens. Why can't I?
So I was, you know, an elementary teacher for 28 years, and we had to teach third graders both.
Think about how
fun that was. Yes. Yes. We have to teach elementary kids both the conventional system of measurement and the metric system. And it is crazy. But one thing that always struck out to me, the only people who believed that we were going to change were the soft drink manufacturers, who immediately switched to 2-liter containers, but nobody switched except for like Coke.
Holy cow. That is interesting. Really?
So right? Think about it.
Yeah.
Because when I was little, we bought 2-quart size Coke. And then they're like, oh, we're all going to change. All right, bam, they changed. And then nobody else did. They're like, sorry, cola manufacturers, we're not doing that. We refuse.
Well, that's interesting, because you would have been teaching in the great state of Georgia, correct?
Well, I taught in South Carolina for 8 years. I've been in Georgia ever since.
All right. I was in Texas when I went to elementary school. In fifth grade, we moved to the Boston area. And there, they were not teaching the metric system. I know that for sure.
Yeah. Well, we had to teach it, and it was so confusing for the children. But anyway, you do what you're told. So you lost down. You lost 14 kilograms. Are you feeling good at 85 kilograms?
Yeah, 85 feels like a good one. But what I have since discovered since doing the first intermittent fasting is I really like the longer water fasts. Not super long. Like my longest is 5 days. And that will get me, to be honest with you, a little bit uncomfortable that I'm like, oh, I think I'm getting, like, people start saying, well, you look really skinny. Like, that makes me nervous. I was always kind of a skinny kid. So then I'm getting down like 81. Then as soon as I go back to the normal 18.6, it comes up.
That's true. That's normal. The longer fasts are not for weight loss. I wouldn't recommend them for weight loss, because just like you're seeing, you know, your weight pops back up. And one thing about the longer fast, our metabolic rates do go down with the longer fasts, because our body's like, ooh, this is a lot. There's a study that it's just one, but I talk about it in Fast, Feast, Repeat. There's really not a lot of research on longer fasts, as far as, like, you know, in the journals. But there's one where they did a 72-hour fast and they followed people through it. Now, I'm assuming these are not people who were fasting regularly. These are just normal people who they're like, let's see what happens to a normal person who does a 72-hour fast. So they found that the metabolic rate went up over the first part of the 72-hour fast. Then it reached a peak and then it started to go back down. So by the time they got to hour 72, the metabolic rate was higher than it had been at baseline, but it was on that downward trajectory. So we know that eventually that's going to probably be lower than baseline. We just don't know when that would be, because they stopped at 72. And also, we don't know what would happen if you did it repeatedly. I'm sure you've read Joel Fuhrman's work.
I have not read his work, but I've heard about him. And Jason Fung is another one that Dominique talks a lot about. That's my girlfriend. Yeah.
Dr. Joel Fuhrman, like Dr. Goldhammer, has worked with patients on longer fasts. And he's also, I think, vegan, very plant-based and, you know, low-fat plant-based. And he uses fasting for health purposes. But, you know, the first time I read, I, of course, started off reading Jason Fung with The Obesity Code as well, as soon as that came out in 2016. And then I was reading Fuhrman, and I can't think of the name of his book, but it's, if you just search Joel Fuhrman fasting, it's, I think he's just got the one. But he talks about how, he just says it matter of fact. He said, now, after this longer fast, your metabolic rate will be lower. And so, and then he goes on, you know, talk about that. And I'm like, well, that's not something, you know, we hear a lot. He's someone who's used it a lot, but is saying, yes, your metabolism is going to be lower. So I would just, all this to say, I would be cautious about doing too many long fasts, especially, you know, frequently, maybe one a quarter, one a season.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it. once every few months. And I mean, I hear stuff about people doing 40 days, et cetera. All the True North people do 40 days. That's not my deal.
I was just going to say, anybody doing anything longer than 72 hours, I definitely want you to do it under some sort of medical supervision. I mean, they actually have a center that they want you to go to do it. And you're under medical supervision. They're keeping track of all sorts of, you know, your metabolic markers, how you're doing. So that's important.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Absolutely.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Did you find, has fasting gotten harder? Is 18-6 a little harder for you?
I wouldn't say that it's gotten harder. I mean, I can relate to the cupcake thing that you just said, that often too, I'll have some, every once in a while, some trigger food, and I'll think, oh, that's hard. But what has kind of happened naturally is that it doesn't even feel like I'm quote unquote doing intermittent fasting anymore. It's just, this is how we eat. And that's just kind of how we eat. So it doesn't even, like, I forget that I'm.
Okay. You're not even really paying attention to your timing.
Not until things get a little bit stressful, as they have been recently. And then I'm reminded that, okay, no, let's just get right back into the window. That becomes part of the conversation. But I would say that it's gotten easier and become just kind of the way that I eat, and don't have any, can't envision changing it going forward. I mean, I'm 51, so.
I thought we were the similar age. I'm 51 for a little bit more time. By the time this episode comes out, I'll be 52.
Congratulations. You're ahead of me in the great race, Jen.
Just a little bit. 1969 was a very good year.
Yeah, that was me too, December. So I feel like that this is kind of sort of that, without getting too hokey about it, but this is definitely for longevity, this is good.
I think so too. And so many things lead to illness as we get older and all the diseases of aging, but fasting really counteracts a lot of those. Like, for example, as we age, autophagy generally decreases. Well, fasting upregulates autophagy. And so that keeps us, you know, more in the, you know, less of the aging type things going on. Also, so many of us, like you're doing, you're changing the way you're eating naturally a little bit. You're starting to realize how foods make you feel. And so I think as we also up our nutrition, you know, my nutrition is really way different than it was even a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Like, what's on my plate? It looks so different. The more I've learned.
Where are you on plant-based, vegan? How much does that play into your nutrition?
You know, never say never, I guess. But right this minute, my mind is telling me I'm never going to be vegetarian or vegan. And I don't feel like I'll ever be low-fat, plant-based. But interestingly, you know, I was at the beach for 2 weeks and a couple nights by myself. And then my family came for a week. So there's a lot of eating out. There were 12 of us there. We had a lot of fun. And then I was there for like 5 more nights by myself. And so the last 5 nights, I didn't want to eat out. So I just ate kind of on my own things. I was completely vegetarian the last 5 nights, just because if I'm left to my own devices, I don't reach for meat a lot.
That's pretty interesting.
It is, but I do eat meat. Last night we had beef, and my husband doesn't want to be vegetarian, but he'll eat vegetarian meals throughout the week here and there, but wants to have some meat. And I also feel better when I have some meat here and there.
That's relatable.
But more and more plants, like the number of plants that I'm eating has gone up. You know, I followed Dr. Tim Spector, who's doing the Zoe research. He's also well known for the COVID app that he's got in the UK. And he always talks about trying to eat 30 plants a week. And I haven't added them up because he's a big gut guy. You know, he studied the gut for really, I guess, decades. But I think that's a great goal. Maybe I'll start adding it up, seeing I bet I do have 30 different plants a week, really.
This is my 27th green plant. I got three more to hit my tag. nice. I mean, what I find inspiring about that is that you're like, you know, sort of when I'm just on my own, it just kind of feels good to eat that stuff. And that's that. I mean, that, instead of being like, oh, this is a dogma, we must eat vegan, because I definitely have become more vegan curious and listen to a lot of podcasts and do a lot of research on that too. But just they're like, no, we've got vegan brie. It's just as good. Please, somebody convince me. Sell me that brie that's going to take me to France.
No, I don't like substitute things. I realize that. I try. We have a food delivery company here called Purple Carrot, and they're vegan. And you know, I was adding more plants, and I like to try all the different companies. So I tried Purple Carrot for a while, and it all sounded so good. And some of the meals were amazing. But what I learned is I do not like substitutes. Like a meat substitute, it was supposed to be sausage or something. I'm like, no. I'm either going to eat real sausage or I'm just going to not eat any. I don't want a meat substitute because it's my I don't want a brie substitute, you know.
Well, believe me, I mean, obviously there's billions to be made in this industry, so it's going to be getting better and better as we go forward. But indeed, I had a similar an experience at a restaurant and ordered a green curry, and it was my first, like, I was excited. This is not that long ago, a big green curry, and I was like, I think I'm eating snot. Pardon me to your listeners. But that was harsh, and it was a bummer. I was literally let down. I thought, I can't do this.
I also think that we need to be careful with the enemy is ultra-processed foods, right? So when they start making these fake foods, and they may be vegan and plant-based, but they're ultra-processed. So, you know, you're going to be better off eating whole foods versus all these new delights that they give to us that are fake and supposed to simulate something else. So, you know, I talk about Brussels sprouts all the time. Make a good pan of Brussels sprouts and eat those. Don't eat tofurkey. I don't know. Oh, you haven't heard of tofurkey? I think it's like tofu-based turkey. I don't really know. It's just a
Okay. That point just reminds me of a good Goldhammer quote where he's like, well, hey, Oreos are also vegan.
Exactly. Girl Scout cookies are vegan, right?
Amen, sister.
So it's figuring out, you know, we want to feed our gut microbiomes well. The more, you know, I have a new book coming out in January of 2022 called Cleanish, and I did a lot of research there. And, you know, things that I kind of knew already in the back of my head about nutrition and our bodies and what we needed and health in general and, you know, cleaning up what we're putting in. But really reading about how important plants are in our gut microbiome and all the things they do and how many, you know, all like that goes back to the 30 plants a week. We don't even know what they all have in them. So all of those phytochemicals do different things. So that's where I think the power is in the plants and the diversity. We want to have diversity. So you're vegan curious.
Vegan curious. And that is all from doing intermittent fasting from your book for about 5 months. And then we did a longer water fast. And then Dominique found it was a podcast with Rich Roll, who I'm sure you probably know. And he had Goldhammer on there. And I just was transfixed. This man's passion for forget the word vegan or forget that. His passion for human beings and health was so moving to me that I was like, all right, I got to check this out. And I'll be honest, I couldn't go the full on hardcore right. extreme like those gentlemen do, and hats off to them. And anybody listening that does that, wow. But still, the baseline is still better to be eating these kind of foods instead of thinking, I think I'll have Doritos for dinner.
Oh, and you know, I didn't even buy Doritos at the beach. I love Doritos. I don't know and Delight on Deny, I talk about this, but they're not appealing to me as much as they used to. And, you know, I walked right by them. Did you know they have organic Doritos?
Of course they have organic Doritos. Yes, I haven't seen them in my shop
yet. I bought them
yet.
Before, but you know, I was at the store shopping for the beach, and I tend to be a little more relaxed there. And I was like, I could buy those. I'm like, I really don't want those. So I didn't. And that it's shocking when you realize you just really don't want that. And like, I don't really want that, but I'm going to buy this. Ooh, I'm going to buy this cottage cheese, this fermented cottage cheese. I was excited about the cottage cheese.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that excitement. I do for sure. I mean, I've never actually been in a Whole Foods supermarket because they don't have them in Europe. So to me, there's this whole mystique around this particular chain and how it's so, there's also the whole negative framing of that it's elitist and all this, that, and the other thing. But That just isn't here at this level. We don't like a, you, I think you called it purple carrot. What did you just call it?
Yeah, purple carrot.
We don't, there is not a delivery service in the Netherlands that does pure vegan yet. It'll come because obviously there's a market for it.
But, you know, Purple Carrot, more power to them, but they did have a lot of ultra-processed ingredients. So they were vegan, but a little more on, you know, like some of the things they sent, I'm like, I'm not eating that, you know.
Right, right, yeah.
Just because it was a little more processed. But they're still doing great work. I'm not criticizing Purple Carrot, but I didn't stick with them. You know, they were not one that I ordered for a long time. But, you know, I like to try them just so I can know how they're
absolutely.
Doing. But I bet in the Netherlands, y'all don't have quite as much of an issue with ultra-processed foods, or do you?
That's a fun question. I mean, I would like to answer that question by saying, no, we are more wholesome.
Not more wholesome?
Nah, I would like to believe that. But I don't think the numbers would back it up. I was told for a time I was working with, one of my clients was McDonald's. And there is within 9 kilometers, you can never go farther than 9 kilometers before there's a McDonald's in this country. Just if that gives you any indication. But I mean, it is one of the more liberal countries in Europe, and it is progressive in the sense that if this is more healthy, then yes, there is an openness to it. But I don't think it's
not there yet.
No. And obesity has definitely increased in the 30 years that I've been coming to Europe, and particularly like the Mediterranean countries too, because I love Italy and I love Spain. And 30 years ago, you really did not see obesity at all. And that, it's creeping in. It really is. And the Netherlands as well. The UK is probably the worst in Europe and number two to us, the United States, sadly. But maybe it will continue to get better here. I'd like to see that. But if you want it, you can go get it. You know, it's all being lazy.
It's all there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you read about how the EU has different guidelines, like food additives, for example. There aren't as many food additives in Europe that are approved and allowed as we have in the United States.
Absolutely true. And agriculture is different. They're very careful in this country about what you can spray. And I happen to be a golfer. I really love golf. The golf courses here can't use the same pesticides, might be the wrong word. But, and so that makes the greens a lot slower.
Yeah.
So there's different regulations about what they can put out on the grass, which makes the greens worse, which is, this is two thumbs down on the video feed.
Well, you know, I live in the golf capital of America, right?
I would say Myrtle Beach is pretty darn good.
Well, no, I'm talking about Augusta with, you know, the Masters, home of the Masters.
Are you from Augusta, Georgia?
I was born in Augusta, Georgia, and I'm coming to you from Augusta, Georgia right this minute.
I have to be quiet for 30 seconds.
And my next door neighbor, his dad runs the Masters tournament, and I know him because he was over. They just remodeled their house, and yeah.
Okay, this has now reached a spiritual level, Jen. This conversation. I'm not going to go down to the rabbit hole, but I'll just say this: I've been watching that golf tournament as a spiritual exercise for 45 years.
Wow.
And I've never been. My dad actually went to the Masters. I haven't, and he bought all the shirts and stuff, but I haven't been to Augusta. But I hear it's really surreal when you come out of the grounds of Augusta National. That road, what is that street called?
Washington Road.
Yeah. Did I know that?
Oh, it is. Yeah, that is funny. And, you know, if I wanted to go to Publix grocery store right this minute from my house, the way I go to Publix grocery store is through the grounds of the Masters parking. It used to be a neighborhood, and they systematically, we've been back in Augusta since 2005, and they've systematically, like, destroyed that neighborhood. I mean, I don't want to say destroy, but there's a bunch of little houses. They bought them up and turned it all into their parking. And so, but they still let us drive through there. Except there's this one holdout that still didn't sell his house, and it's so funny. He won't sell. Won't sell. Yeah.
You're obviously not a golfer. How did that happen? You guys didn't get into golf?
No, I blame my poor depth perception. I'm not great at hitting the ball. I hit the ground. I hit above the ball. Anyway, I don't know. But yeah, it's you know, I've been to the tournament a few times. It's not easy for locals to go.
I've heard that. You know, I mean, I've read so much of what's available around the way they run the tournament.
It used to be. You used to could go to the practice rounds anytime. But, you know, I remember being at the par three right there with Tiger Woods right in front of me. So the last time I went was maybe 97, but I was at the par three. That was the best. The par three is so much fun.
I believe it is. 97 is the year that Tiger Woods won it. That was his first major. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was the year that you remember, because that was absolutely monumental.
I think that was because I remember him. He had his little tiger cover over his, you know, and I was just sitting right there beside him. But the par three was my favorite part of it all.
And it's supposed to be really cool. There is a fasting link. Watch me make this link.
So, okay.
Fast forward to 2021, and this year, the PGA Championship, which is one of golf's four majors, was won by the legendary Phil Mickelson, who is our age.
I love him.
How can you not? 51 and a faster.
He absolutely is.
I don't know that he does IF as his nutritional lifestyle, but I know that he does longer water fasts, and there was some literature about it, and that just made me go, see, this is the secret.
I love Phil. He's my favorite golfer. When I was a teacher, they had a program. I don't know if they still have it. ExxonMobil, Phil Mickelson put on something called Send My Teacher. And I was nominated by a student to represent. And I won for the state of Georgia. Two of us got to go to New York. We actually stayed. They put us up. And it was like for science. So nice. I got to see Phil speak. He addressed us all. It was wonderful.
Cool. What a great story.
Yeah, so I love Phil. And that was the year he won the Masters. When was that? 2012?
He's won it. I believe he won it
12? 12 yeah, or 13? Anyway, it was when he won the Masters at that point. And when I came back from, I'd been on a trip, and I came back because we go out of town for Masters week in Augusta. That's just pretty much what we do.
Says everything right there.
Yeah. So I came back home, and suddenly I was news because I was going to send my teacher, Phil Mickelson, so that it came to my house and interviewed me. And this was like really, it was before I was doing intermittent fasting. I can still remember I was overweight, but it was just funny because suddenly it was big news in Augusta. Teacher going with Phil Mickelson. So he's my favorite golfer.
I love that he's
doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly, and not afraid to talk about it. I wonder in the world of elite level sports, I mean, obviously there's more and more no-meat athletes and people that are into really being super healthy around what they eat. But, you know, golf would not be the sport number one that it was pretty conservative. So for him to be way out there and say, no, this is something that I do to stay, to have an edge is huge for everybody who believes in fasting in whatever way.
Well, you know, I can't even imagine trying to do something after having a big breakfast, for example.
Oh, totally.
Having a big breakfast and then going and playing 18 holes of golf does not sound like a good time.
Well said. And so amazing to sort of cut through the mythology in your own head, because we've been fed this three meals a day myth. And like, I'd feel heavy as an ox out there if I ate breakfast. But then if I say that to a family member, no, you're not going to eat, but you need to eat. I'm like, no, see, there's where we got it backwards. Actually, I'll be way sharper and way more fit out there. I'll eat afterwards.
And you'll feel better. I remember back in the day, you know, we were told don't go swimming after eating. You need to let your stomach do its work. You need to rest. I mean, we would have nap time after lunch or whatever, you know, when we were little. And we knew that eating made you sluggish.
Okay, good point. The swimming thing is absolutely. Yeah, wait a half an hour before you go in the water. I maybe made it 3 minutes. You?
I know. I never waited half an hour either. My grandmother had a pool, and so she was always like, you got to wait. And I'm like, okay. And then we would, she's not looking, get in, you know. We never
minutes.
Died from a cramp. But
30 minutes for an 8-year-old, that's a big ask.
That was a big ask. You're exactly right. So back to you, I'm circling back to your question. You were talking about 18-6, and are you not doing 18-6? What's the challenge that you were facing? We never really quite got to it.
Well, I mean, I would notice it would just be that. So if 1 p.m. is the opening of my window again, I'd be like around 11:30, like, is it 1 o'clock yet? Like,
okay.
You know, especially with pandemic stuff, because I'm pretty much dependent on the gig economy. And this summer's gotten quiet and scary, to be honest. So then without having that morning activity, it was like 1 o'clock felt longer. So then I might have 11 o'clock and kind of cheat it. And then I'd be down to it. And I don't beat myself up about it. It's still, I'm not going to get up and have eggs and bacon at 7 a.m. ever again. You know what I mean? But I just felt that number being a little more fluid than it was when I was really stuck into my routine through the winter months.
That's really common. You know, I even suffer with that issue from time to time. And what I notice is when I contrast a very not busy day to a busy day, you know, I do find myself looking at the clock more, thinking, am I hungry? It's 1 o'clock. I could eat if I want to, you know, that sort of thing. Versus if I know, for example, like, let's say I had a podcast interview scheduled for 4 p.m. I do not eat before I do my podcast interviews unless they're like 8 p.m. You know, I'm not going to wait. I like to eat every day, so I'm not going to wait and not eat that day. So if I knew I had a podcast at 4, I would just very easily not eat, not even looking at the clock. I'm looking at 4 o'clock with the awareness of when is it time to do my interview. But on the flip side, if I don't have anything planned, can I open my window? Should I? You know, I still have those thoughts.
Well, that's actually, that really is good to hear that you still go through that, you know.
Oh, definitely.
an expert in the field, for sure. It's good to hear that you struggle with that sometimes too, or at least that struggle maybe isn't the right word, but that you're the
it's in my
process.
Head.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's just because, you know, I didn't get to be obese for no reason. You know, I was 210 pounds. I love to eat food. Food is so much more than just the nutrients in your body. We have emotion connected to it. It's recreation. I mean, should it be recreation? That's a question for, you know, it's a different question. But, you know, there, we eat for so many reasons. And it's pleasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. That dopamine thing is real. I mean, there is a secretion of that. How are you on alcohol in the window?
Well, have you followed my talking about it with, you know, being a slow alcohol metabolizer?
Yeah, I think that's funny.
You get
drunk really fast.
When it hits me, and then I process it very, very slowly. Like I said, I was just at the beach with my family, and we have determined, I have two brothers and a sister, we've determined we are all slow alcohol metabolizers, and we think we get it from our dad, and because we think he does too. He doesn't drink at all. He drank when he was younger. But all of us have naturally, the four of us, it took me longer than the rest of them, gotten to the point where we don't drink much. We did sit around and have some wine at the beach, but it was just a little bit. You know, a couple glasses. Two glasses of wine is really the most I can drink and still feel good. But I did. I did take my dry farm wine to the beach, and I was drinking that. Although my sister and my brother that were there, the one brother wasn't drinking with us, but the sister and the brother that were, they drank like the worst wine in the world.
You guys have bad wine taste.
They have terrible, the cheapest, grossest, and I'm like, oh my Lord, how are y'all drinking that? And I'm over here with my dry farm wines. But they didn't want that, thank goodness, this all for me. But I bet y'all have great wine in Europe.
I was just going to say, like bad wine is extremely bad taste, bad form. Can't do it. Can't
pull
that off.
I mean, like, they like those sweet, crazy, fruity, weirdo wines that, I'm not going to say Boone's Farm, but.
I just said it.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, reminds you of the Boone's Farm for grown-ups is kind of what they like.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother and sister.
You just said that publicly, and the whole world has heard you say that.
Now they all know that's what they like.
I would guess that's probably not super nutritious. What do you think, Jen?
No, and I really can't drink red wine at all. Like, I've gotten to the point, I like red wine. I cannot drink red wine. I can do a champagne. I can do French. If I don't have dry farm wines, I can do a French champagne. But still, two glasses and I'm good. And I'm not drinking every day. I keep trying to find a non-alcoholic wine that works for me, and I just can't. They just are...
We had one the other night, because I don't drink at all. And we had one the other night, and it was surprisingly good. Like, I was just
bitching. A non-alcoholic
wine? Yes, absolutely. It was a red wine, and I don't know what it's called. But anyway, really good, and surprised me. The first time ever, and I was skeptical, just like I am about the vegan brie. It was definitely drinkable. And there's something about the ritual of it and putting it in the nice glass.
Well, you know, I'm putting coconut water in a wine glass. You know, I will have, during my window, I will have a glass of coconut water in my wine glass. And that really is good enough. It's the ritual of having a pretty glass and a special beverage that's, you know, making me happy.
Yeah, well said.
So you're not a big drinker.
No. Well, I mean, I definitely have, I quit drinking on purpose, definitely was drinking too much. And certainly as a young man, smoked a lot of weed. And I mean, being over here, that was just very, it was around me all the time. So I've just, once I was diagnosed bipolar, and one of the first things that the mental health professionals will say, and correctly so, is, okay, drop the substances. That's not going to work. So it was not an easy decision, but got rid of them and still don't drink and occasionally miss it. But I'm just curious about how it fits in people's windows. And it's hard for me to imagine drinking, quote unquote, heavily and still having that be good,
healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so. I don't think heavy drinking is good for anyone. And, you know, there's debate about whether even light drinking is healthy. You know, there's two sides of that coin. There's the yes, light drinking has health benefits. And then there's the no, that's all a lie.
Yeah,
side
that's
of the
relatively
coin.
Recent. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. What do you think? Is it? Where are you?
Well,
on that
you know, I do. We can really find people who believe everything is dangerous. You know, like, don't eat beans, they will kill you, or, you know, whatever. The whole idea of hormetic stress in our bodies, that certain things that there are certain things, exercise is an example of that. For example, you know, you work your muscle, it actually tears down the muscle, but builds it back stronger. So certain kinds of stress, some of these substances, maybe the alcohol, our bodies have to adapt to them, and it makes us stronger. That's a theory. about alcohol and how like small amounts may have benefits. And it even like phytochemicals, because, you know, there's that famous book, The Plant Paradox. Have you read that one?
No, but heard about it on podcasts.
I haven't read it. But, you know, the whole premise of that book is that, you know, these plants are very, very bad for you. These lectins, whatever, very bad for you. Don't eat them, although you can buy my supplement, which will help you with anyway. But the whole idea is that really these plant compounds, we want that little stress that makes us stronger. Kind of like how, you know, a vaccination makes you able to defeat, you know, a virus, right?
Yes.
Into that, but you challenge your body. You have to have those challenges to make yourself stronger. We know that with exercise.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I mean, I would still say that I'm definitely whatever works for the person. And since I really got serious about nutrition when I started intermittent fasting, I'm figuring out or have figured out what works for me. And I know that booze ain't going to do it.
No, it doesn't work right for me.
Hats off. Yeah, you're lucky in that sense. You've got like a normal, like some kind of biological break to you with the two glasses. It's like that. I'm done.
It's true. And it's really easy to stop. You know, we went out to dinner. We're having our 30th anniversary in 2 days. We'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary. So we went out to eat over the weekend, and I had a margarita. One margarita. They're at a great restaurant. They have a top shelf margarita. It was fabulous. And then I came home, and I didn't feel like I needed another drink and more. You know, that was it.
Well, just between me, you, and a fence post, Jen Stevens, I have never in my life just had one margarita.
I really, actually, I left some of it in the glass. I didn't drink it all because I was like, I'm tired of this now. There was like probably a third of it. I tried to get my husband to drink it and he didn't want it because he's always been able to just stop. He had one beer and I'm like, here, drink the rest of my margarita. And he's like, no, I don't want it.
That's like, fascinating to
okay.
me. Yeah,
we
yeah.
left margarita on the table.
Good Lord. Wow.
I know.
Consider yourself lucky. That's good. So there are so many alcoholics in my family. We should have our own charter of AA and get a tax write-off. You know, sometimes it just that gene or whatever passes through a family. And we definitely got that one. So I have deducted it is not healthy.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Yeah, you got to know yourself and your own limits, right? And in zero, sometimes the answer is to have zero. Moderation is not the key. Zero is the key.
Well, I definitely proved that moderation for me isn't possible. It was definitely all or nothing. When it came to margaritas.
That was it.
Yeah.
So you've written a book. Let's talk about that. Tell everybody about your book, what it is.
Right. Well, my book, it's called How to Not Kill Yourself, 10 Tips for Troubled Times. So this is a comedic tongue-in-cheek look at when things get dark, do this. But I didn't write it. It's kind of a half ironic type of self-help, like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But it's all common sense stuff, like find something to care for, use your hands, exercise, get therapy, you know, stuff that is not, this is not revolutionary, but I kind of wrote it from the point of view of, I could do this and it would help. So it's been a fun journey because we actually, the book was published by the biggest nonfiction publisher in the Netherlands, which to me was a huge deal.
That is huge.
Yeah, I was really super excited about it. So that it was published here in Belgium and the Netherlands in Dutch. And then what I did is go ahead and self-publish it in English in the US and the UK and Australia. So it's out there and it's the funniest thing I've ever written, which is not easy to say. I mean, I don't take that lightly, but I somehow feel like I've managed to get the difficult topic and somewhat still taboo topic of depression, suicidal ideation, you know, and kind of put a little funny in it. I would like to believe that anyway. And my readers have told me that here too.
So it's basically about your struggle with depression and bipolar disorder. And what it's your audience for the book is people who are suffering with this type of.
Correct. Or the ones who live with them, like my girlfriend who has to live with my craziness. And I don't mean to talk myself down, but it can be rough, you know, and there is some support in there for everybody. And we've got a new book coming out this February, which actually specifically addresses what goes on in the mind games of a bipolar person. So that's exciting. But, it's one of the things about it, Jin, is that, I mean, you'll be able to relate to this because you like sort of you write this book and then now you're an expert and now you're in the community and now a lot of your life revolves around it. Well, I kind of underestimated that if I get into the depression business, quote unquote, well, it can be a little heavy sometimes, you know, and when this is really people's livelihoods and their health, and that's intense. I mean, I can feel myself getting a little bit tense in my shoulders just even mentioning it. But I love that responsibility, and I take it on wholeheartedly. But I underestimated it. Did you feel that way at the beginning?
Yes. And I'm like, look, I'm just Jen. Stop asking me those hard questions. I don't know. You know, because sometimes people will expect me to know way more than I know. And I'm like, look, I am an elementary teacher. I am not a medical doctor. I cannot tell you whether your blah, blah, blah condition is going to be, and I say blah, 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 not in a, you know, that sounded maybe bad, maybe rude, but your XYZ condition, whatever it is, I don't know what will happen. And that is not something I'm expected to know. And so sometimes people think that you know, like everything. They're like, what about this medication? I'm like, I don't know anything about, I'm not a pharmacist. Even doctors don't know these types of questions. Like my husband, has a PhD in medicinal chemistry. And I remember when he was doing his work, he had to work the poison control center as part of, you know, he had for his PhD, he didn't have to pay tuition, but they have to do certain things, you know, as part of being a scholar. And so he had to work the poison control center. And he would have hospitals and doctors calling him, you know, in the middle of the night, asking questions about poison and drugs and medication. And he's this 22-year-old PhD student, he doesn't know either. He's having to look it up. But it just lets you know that we aren't expected to know everything, you and I. You're not expected to know everything about depression, even though people might expect that you do.
Excellent point. It really is. And I mean, I would argue too, I mean, I try to be very upfront and say, look, I'm coming at this is from a quote unquote comedic point of view. I am writing this as an attempt to be funny, if it's possible, about this subject. And I really worried because I knew that I was going to be doing media and speaking about it and stuff about that one mother or father out in the audience that stands up and says, yeah, but my child, you know, I really was afraid of that. And that hasn't played out in reality. It still could, I guess. But I underestimated it. I mean, as I said.
Well, you know, your expertise is living with the condition and, you know, how to make the most of that. Just like my expertise is, how do you make intermittent fasting your lifestyle? And there's a lot of questions that, you know, people ask me that not only can I not answer, but I don't think we know the answer yet to them.
Relatively early on, in the big picture, for sure. But I mean, and is it when you realized, okay, wow, I am now being considered the guru, the person who really knows, did you ever think, screw it, I'm not doing another book or I'm pulling the plug on this?
maybe. You know, I did just leave Facebook recently and that helped a lot, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it helped a lot because
you had like two big groups going. There were two.
I archived two groups with probably 135,000 combined members in those two groups that I archived. And I kept the big one going. It's over 300,000 and members don't post, but there's an Ask a Moderator thread. So they can still get support, you know, but I am no longer there. But the moderators, I love the moderators so much. They're amazing. They're volunteers. They help within the groups and they answer questions in there. But I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, somebody that was making a snarky comment said, oh, Jen thinks she's too big for Facebook now. And I'm like, actually, it's the opposite. Facebook got too big for me. I couldn't do it. you know, my mental health is also important. I was living, and it was really my job was managing communities. Instead, I just want to help people with fasting, and I don't want to manage behavior of adults on social media.
Oh, man, that's a big ask.
You know, I got out of elementary teaching because I was tired of managing children's behavior, right? So I certainly don't want to spend the rest of my life managing adult behavior. And that's really, like I said, what it had turned into. You know, we can't allow in a Facebook group people asking specific medical questions. Then they start going and giving people crazy advice, like throw your medicine in the trash. I'm like, you can't tell somebody that on Facebook, right? That's not our job. And so, you know, I love to give intermittent fasting support and help people make it a lifestyle. That is what I want to be an expert on. How can you make intermittent fasting into a lifestyle that works for you? Don't ask me what happens at hour 14 in your body when it refers to autophagy. And I don't know. We don't even know that exactly. Everybody's different. So I don't want to be that expert. You know, talk to Dr. Rhonda Patrick. Talk to Peter Attia. I want to be your application specialist.
Yeah, I get it. I really get it. And I can imagine that must have surprised you at one point. You're like, suddenly I'm like this manager who's trying to stop people from fighting. Yeah, good point.
That's crazy. Yeah. And I'm, you know, people would get so bent out of shape. As a comedian, I'm sure you know what one person thinks is funny, someone else thinks is like the worst thing they've ever heard in their life, and you are evil for saying it. So, like, we had some meme controversy one time before I had moderators. It was some funny meme about carbs and Jesus or something. I can't remember, but both sides were mad. The Christians were really mad because, are we making fun of Jesus? I don't know. And then the people who were like, there will never be religion. Why are we? Everyone was mad. And then the people who eat low carb were mad. I mean, literally everyone was mad about this Jesus carb meme. And this is before we had post approval. It was before we had moderators. It was just me, and I'm trying to teach school. And now everybody's blowing up on Facebook over this meme that has managed to offend everyone. And I'm like, okay, let's don't post this meme anymore. People...
Good for you.
Anyway.
Good for you. Good call to make then to get out of that.
Anyway, but those are the kind of things you don't think about. And I'm like, how can I support your fasting? How about that? Right?
For sure. But your newest attempt to do that is Cleanish, is the book that's coming out in January.
In January. I'm really proud of that. And, you know, Cleanish is not an intermittent fasting book. You know, they wanted me to write another intermittent fasting book, and I was held pretty firm about not doing that and finally talked them into it, because you get pigeonholed as an author. Like, Jen writes intermittent fasting books. I'm like, look, I've already convinced my audience to buy two intermittent fasting books, Delay Don't Deny, and then I convinced those people to buy Fast, Feast, Repeat because it was better. It's a better book, you know, because I know more now, and I answer more questions, and, you know, I think it's a better book. But I don't want to ask them to buy a third intermittent fasting book, because I said everything I needed to say already. So it's really about, the subtitle is Eat Mostly Clean, Live Mainly Clean, and Unlock Your Body's Natural Ability to Self-Clean. So there is one intermittent fasting chapter. That's in the section on self-cleaning. But there's so much more to that than just intermittent fasting. It's, you know, supporting your body's natural cleaning processes through nutrition, for example, the foods that you're eating. It's, you know, three parts. It's what you put into your body. Well, really two main parts. What you put into your body matters. You know, you don't want to put in toxins, you know, like GMOs. I talk about that. You know, what's the issue with GMOs, really? And there are many things, but also what they're spraying on them, for example, and our body burden and our toxic load. And really, so much of illness is just because our body burden has gone up with what we're putting in. So we really do need to be more careful now about what we're putting in than we ever did, just because it's so much more around us everywhere. Like, Consumer Reports just did an article on, like, in the past year on what they found in bottled water. The chemicals were shocking.
Yes, that doesn't surprise me.
And so, just, you know, we have these chemicals around us that didn't used to be there. And so what we put in matters more than it ever did. So we focus on, you know, eliminating what we can. That's why it's called Cleanish, because you can't eliminate everything. You have to live in the world. So I'm excited about the book. I hope that it helps people to make a few, you know, you don't have to change everything, and you don't have to eat vegan brie unless you want to eat vegan brie.
Yeah. Right? It sounds to me like the logical next step. From the intermittent fasting books, it makes sense. I think that we would have bought a third intermittent fasting book if you wanted to know the honest truth.
I got nothing more to say about that. You know, like Forrest Gump says, and that's all I've got to say about that.
And he was right. He was absolutely right. There, you get to a wall and you think, all I can do now is repeat myself. But there are plenty of bands that have been doing that for 40 years. So good for you for not doing it and going. And it's interesting the word clean too, because that word wasn't even in my nutritional vocabulary until probably after the first water fast. And then now that word makes sense to me, what that really means. For me, it's watching out for sugar big time, because once I put the first bit in,
for me, it's oils and, putting in the processed oils really makes a huge difference. Like I started to realize, if I go to a restaurant and eat French fries, my stomach's going to hurt. Why is that? But if I make fries at home with olive oil tossed, in my oven and roast them, I do not have a stomach ache. So, it's those processed oils, the ultra processed foods. There's not a single research study linking ultra processed foods to good health. They all link it to bad health. And so just, I still eat, I have Triscuits, organic Triscuits in my cabinet right now, and I eat them. And they're an ultra-processed food. But I'm not buying the Doritos. Will I ever eat a Dorito again? Probably. I'm clean-ish. So that's the whole thing, is trying to figure out. And the whole point of the book is leading you to the end where you're going to come up with your own definition of what clean-ish living means to you. I mean, you're going to change your skincare. Maybe you're going to use, natural deodorant. Maybe you're not. I mean, you decide what can you live with? What do you want to change? What works for you? So very much like the fasting.
Yeah, nice. Good for you. Looking forward to reading that one.
Well, good. I'm really excited about it. My editor really likes it, which is good, because she's been in the field for a long time. And for her to be like, this is not like a book we've got. So that makes me happy. And again, I didn't want it to be an intermittent fasting book, because I don't want people who are not intermittent fasters to be like, well, that's not for me. I'm not an intermittent faster. This book is for everybody. I don't want to limit the audience. They wanted me to put intermittent fasting in the title. And I'm like, nope.
You didn't even use the word. That's interesting.
No, I'm pretty stubborn. So, I'm not promising that it's going to make you lose a lot of weight. And they also, they're like, can you talk about the weight loss? I'm like, no, you might not lose weight. This is your health. This is, being healthier in your life. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to make you healthier. But you might not drop 40 pounds. I don't want to make claims like that. Maybe you will. I don't know. But
That's exactly how this lifestyle has played out for me, is that it wasn't about that weight loss. And then before you turn around, I've dropped 15 kilos, 14 kilos. So it does end up working that way. But it does keep me inspired to think that there's something coming that is the bigger lifestyle, not just the fasting.
And eventually you're not going to be like, you're no longer quite as focused on counting your hours anymore.
Right.
And it gets to the point where you're like, okay, you're no longer having to use that mental space thinking about your fasting. It's just what you do.
Just the way I eat.
It's just the way you do.
Exactly right.
And if I open early, I close earlier. Just not because I'm like, oh no, I better close my window, but because I feel like I've had enough. And then you just start to focus on different things, and it becomes a health journey that looks different for everybody. So, David, how can people find your book?
Well, if you go to Amazon, you've heard of Amazon, right, Jen?
Once or twice.
Amazon.com, How to Not Kill Yourself, David Mangine, you'll find it. We've only got it's just the Kindle edition in the United States. So the trying to get a book that was initially published in the Netherlands and then published in the U.S. sounds like it would be easy. I'm here to tell you, for some reason, Mr. Bezos did not make that easy. Which, I let go. At some point, I was like, forget it. And they were like, you can just self-publish it. And so it is a self-published book in the United States. And if you have, if depression is any part of your life or somebody who you love, I promise you, if you read it, you'll get a chuckle. And I think the chuckle is hope. That's what I would like to believe. That's why I do it. So
I've got some family members that would either benefit from reading it or it would help me.
Well, great. Yeah, check it out. I mean, I had good fun writing it, and I would like to believe that it helps.
Awesome. Well, what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Nice. Well, there's that bit at the end of your book of those things. That's a cool bit. What I would say is it's easier than you think. So if you're hearing people talk about this big mystical thing, intermittent fasting, just cut to the chase. It's a lot easier than you think. Because our bodies are built to eat this way and not to eat three squares with snacks. So first thing I would say is it's easier than you think. And I think to answer the second part of your question was what would I have liked to have known? I think I'm unique in that I don't really care about the science, because I felt that it's working and I feel like my mood is more stable. So I really don't have an answer to that part of your question.
Here's a secret I'm going to whisper to you. I don't care as much about the science as a lot of people do. We get a lot of questions on the intermittent fasting podcast where they're asking, and I'm like, I don't even care. Just what feels right, do that. I mean, I do care about the science, so don't get me wrong.
Well, I think you got the balance. I mean, it's clear that you're like, look, I'm going to put the science in there. But at the end of the day,
I do care about the science, yeah.
Of course you do. And at the end of the day, it doesn't, if it's working, it doesn't really matter all that much. And for me, it's mental health, which is even a little bit more of a gray area in terms of peer-reviewed research to back it up. But I would just like to say to anybody who's listening, if you think you can do it, you definitely can. It's easier than it sounds. So start with 16-8 and then go from there.
Absolutely. Well, David, I have really enjoyed talking to you today, and I can't wait to check out your book.
Me too, Jen. It's been a pleasure.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com, and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.